Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired Sports Information Director of SUNY Oneonta, and also the current Athletics Hall of Fame Chair. And today on today's show, we're going to be welcoming Caitlin O'Sullivan, class of 2008 cross country track and field athlete, who we will be inducting into our Athletic Hall of Fame on Saturday, June 8th, 2024. Welcome to the show, Caitlin.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm excited.
First, before we go far into this interview, congratulations on behalf of the Hall of Fame Committee. Certainly a well-deserved honor.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Earlier, I've been talking to some of the other inductees along the way here. I was talking to Beth Muller, who graduated, she's a women's tennis player, graduated in 2003. And we just started talking about this year's class. And I just started thinking, I was like, wow. Six out of the eight inductees this year were there when I was there, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
And this year has the largest number of female inductees, which
Nice.
is another really special, transition, in the growth of women's athletics at Oneonta. So how does that make you feel?
Yeah, that makes me feel great. I think also reflecting back on when I was in the track program, it actually was only a few years old if I'm recalling correctly. And I think it was a lot of the women that were really leading the charge in elevating the program, with the women's DMR team. I believe they went to nationals. Were they all American too, I think? I love that. And then obviously, my time at Oneonta, the women's soccer team was very dominant. Tracy Ranieri, who after I left became the AD. So it's yeah, I mean it's I think that that's a great alignment.
And I think that in certainly you were a very big part of that program, and certainly the growth of and the success of women's athletics at Oneonta. Why Oneonta?
So a big reason why I chose Oneonta was because of the fashion program, to be honest. So in high school, I didn't really finish my high school athletic career at a high point. I wasn't that great or that sought after necessarily as an athlete, but I knew I still wanted to run because I loved it. I had wanted to major in fashion. So that paired with the fact that I knew Matt LoPiccolo for a long time, from the running camp that I would attend every summer in high school, and he was a counselor there, and so I always had known him. And then, he recruited me, and I came to Oneonta for a visit, and I loved it. And I didn't apply anywhere else. I applied early decision. I was like, I love it here. I'm excited. I was excited about the program, both academically and athletically. So that was it. I didn't even have to see anywhere else, and I never regret that decision. I loved my time at Oneonta.
I mean, certainly it ended up being an incredible decision for you. I
Yeah.
mean, so what so Matt must have seen something.
Yeah.
You know, you said that you didn't have really a great high school kind of maybe experience.
I think I had kind of what can often be the typical female experience in high school, where I was pretty good, my freshman and sophomore year. And I think what happens a lot of times with girls is, you end up hitting puberty, and it kind of falls off at the end. So I think I was one of those people, had injuries and things like that. So I just didn't perform as well in the last 2 years. But I think because he had known, that there was potential there, and that I did love the sport, and seeing each other every summer, that it was that there was something there. So
So coming into the program, certainly your first season out of the gate is cross country, and the running program to get ready for your first collegiate season. So take us through that.
So that first year, obviously that's a lot of transitions, and I think that was really what's ended up setting the tone for the rest of my career. Even though I didn't necessarily perform that well in my first year, it just was the building block to everything else. It was during that time that these idea the instilling consistency and the desire to perform well, not just athletically, but also academically. There was just that whole, that was the culture of the team. So I think that was why that made that year very important to me. Again, I did not perform that well. If you look at the results like that, you would say that wasn't a great year for me, but I do think it was a critical year of just building what was to come. Again, just those building blocks and the foundation of loving the sport, being a student of the sport, which is something Matt and then Mike and Trek were very big proponents of, and they would always tell us to be students of the sport, which just instills a, you know, a natural desire to want to be good and to understand why you're doing what you're doing. And I think that helps to make you better because then it helps you to understand all those little things that you do outside of practice as well. So yeah, so that year was really a building year of just learning to be consistent and passionate about it. And yeah, so I think it was that summer really between, it ended up being more like the summer between my freshman and sophomore year that I think the changes really started to show. My sophomore year of cross country wasn't stellar, but it was definitely a big improvement from the year before. And then going into indoor track of my sophomore year, I ended up getting injured, but there was like, you could tell, I think everyone knew, I knew that I was like right on the cusp of making that breakthrough. And I ended up getting injured in indoor. And I came out of that injury in outdoor track of my sophomore year. And there was, even after being injured and not, I spent that whole injury in the pool. Like I was committed. I was like, I know I've come so far. I don't want to lose traction. I want to keep going. I spent a ton of time in the pool in the evenings doing workouts. And then I came back in better shape than I was before the injury. And I think that was the first time I performed pretty well in Suniacs, was outdoor track of my sophomore year. And I think that's when people were starting to notice that like things were moving in the right direction. And then my junior year, yeah, I don't know if you want me to keep going.
Oh,
The
no, go
whole,
ahead. No, this is good.
yeah, the junior year, my junior year was definitely the big year for me. You know, cross country, I ended up missing nationals by one place. You know, I went from my freshman and sophomore year, like not even, especially my freshman year, not even in the, I don't even think I was the top. I might have not even been the top five on our team in cross country my freshman year. So that was a big change. I think sophomore year I was the top runner for our team most of the time, if not all the time. But anyways, my junior year I ended up just missing nationals in cross country, and then indoor track. I qualified for nationals in two events. I feel like I'm making sure I'm getting my years correct because I know there was one year that I was sick. Was that actually? Anyways. I'm trying to keep them all together. Junior year indoor, I'm gonna remember now. So junior year indoor, I got like really bad bronchitis. So I did qualify for nationals, and I ended up not performing well because I was so sick and I missed a lot of time. But I do remember, I think from that indoor season, one of the biggest things that always sticks with me is I remember being at the ECAC championships, and I was very sick, like coughing very bad. I had strangers being like, "Are you okay?" But Matt and Mike were like, "You know, this is about the team." Like, they knew I was a top performer and a top scorer, and if I didn't even try, that it would be detrimental to the team. So it was just a great lesson of like bucking up and like just doing what you can because it's not just about you; it's about the team as well. And yeah, I think we ended up winning ECACs, if I recall,
I think
as a
so,
team.
yeah.
And I think I ran like three or four events, but yeah. So anyways, I ended up like, I think I fractured a rib from coughing so much that time. But anyway, so it's still a little, you know, some bumps in the road, but junior year of my outdoor or outdoor of my junior year was a really, really big moment. You know, we had Suniacs where, I don't remember the exact number, but I think I won multiple events and set Suniac records, which was a big deal. But I was on the team obviously with Musu and Ashley, so I had great big shoes to fill and like and people to look up to. And they, even though those were great accomplishments, we were so good as a team at that point that like that was they were doing even better. Like so, which is great because that pushes me, pushes people to be better when you have people doing even better than you. I think that's always important. So I qualified for nationals in the 1500 meters and the 800 meters in outdoor track. And I ended up finishing second in the 800 and third in the 1500, which I think was unexpected. I think I was not going into it. I was probably around eighth or maybe the top 10. And then we got third as a team with about with five women, which was super exciting. Obviously, I still have tons of pictures and memories from that experience. It was really awesome. So yeah, so then going into my senior year cross country, I did end up qualifying for nationals. I think I might have been the first woman to qualify for nationals in cross country.
You were the second, but it was a long time.
Long time. Okay.
Yeah, a long
All
time.
right. And then yeah, so then indoor track. Yeah, I had made it to nationals again in the eight and in the mile. Finished second in the 800 again and fourth in the mile. I set school records in both of those events at that time. And I was the Atlantic region athlete of the year. That was for indoor. Yeah. And outdoor, I think I ended up unfortunately hitting some bumpy patches in there. But yeah. So I mean it was just really, really great. And I think just an example of becoming dedicated and invested in the sport and in the team, and what you can accomplish.
Yeah, and certainly, based on, certainly with Matt and Mike and even when Angelo and Joe, who came afterwards, that similar training, the whole philosophy. It usually seems like that you'd start like the ones that went on to, be All Americans, national champions, that kind of stuff. It seemed like it was like at the end of that sophomore year that there would be something that would just kind of starting to say, ooh, okay, I think this might happen. You know what I mean? Like it seemed like the program and the training that you all did, it seems like it took that long. Like you said, you came in as a freshman, you kind of, committed, you're kind of getting the philosophy of the program and you're just learning maybe how to train and run and nutrition, and all that kind of stuff. And then boom, 2 years, now you're in it. I mean, did you feel like that was kind of the way it went for a lot of the athletes?
Yeah, and I think that's in part a learning curve. And I think, and it probably, I would imagine that's more prevalent in D3 than D1 because you're getting athletes who are not, you're not coming to be a professional athlete. But I think when you join the team and the culture of the team was really about trying to fulfill your potential. That was something also that was stressed a lot, like that phrase, like about fulfilling your potential, whether it was on the track, academically. I think Matt and Mike stressed that like each of us have our strengths, but to pursue all of them, but that even if you weren't going to be the top performer on the team, the top scorer, you're still very important on the team academically, or you even being present and being invested helps those top performers get even better and you to get better. But it's all, but I just think that that culture can be new for people. And I think it might take them a little bit to really believe it and like believe in themselves. And have that all come together. So I think that's what it is. 'Cause I think, especially if you're coming again, not as someone who was a top performer in high school because they usually go D1, that now you come into a place where it's like we still believe in you, like we know you can do it, and like and we want you to maximize your potential, we want you to find every ounce that you can give during this time. And so I think it does take those couple of years. I think those first years are those building blocks like I was talking about, that's building that foundation. And it can just it's cumulative.
So certainly, like you said, our program was very young when you entered, and but certainly the success that came, I would say early. I mean, the program is only what, 3 years old, and you guys are already finishing third in the country at NCAAs. I mean, and we've continued. I mean, our success, 15 years later, here we are. We're still, top athletes and that kind of stuff. And we just had a couple All-Americans this past weekend indoors, a hurdler and a shot putter. So it's still there. How does that make you feel when you really were really the part of the group that really started the traction?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that makes me feel, it makes me feel really good. I think even now, even in my professional life, I love being a builder. Like, I like to be someone that's at the start of building something, and helping to get it to be great. And I just find that very exciting. And it makes me, it actually makes me happy anytime I have found out that my records have gotten broken, because I'm like, that means that the team has gotten that much better. And it's, and there's a pride in that. Like, there's a pride, obviously a pride in that you've been a part of this. And then it makes me proud to have those records being, because that means people are still getting better and they're still doing great. They're doing even better. And it's exciting. It's really exciting to see. And you just kind of hope and think that you might have had a little something to do with that, because I think those boundaries, those give people, I don't want to say boundary, but it sets a tone of like what's possible, and that they could do even better. So yeah, that's I love it. It makes me really happy to see.
They haven't broken all your records.
Pretty close, pretty close. Well,
Yeah,
that's
pretty
great though.
close. Yeah, pretty close. But to me, so when you look at the times, and again, I mean, I follow just because I'm just interested. But like when I was looking at the qualifiers for this year in certain events, like the 800, the mile, which is people don't understand, the 800 and the mile indoors and the 800 and the 1500 outdoor are like two of the toughest events to run because you have to run them like on the same day within a couple hours of each other. Is that how it works?
And you have to run rounds before, like the days before. So you end up running like four races. And yeah, and that, so the trials for each, I think they're on different days, if I recall correctly, but then the finals are the same day and not too far apart.
So it's a hard double. And so to come in second in one, third in the other, in the same, it's like that's quite an accomplishment.
I think, the 800 was exciting for me. I love the 800 race, but I was never the fastest. I think I was always actually the slowest going into the final. But I think what I had to my advantage was just the endurance of being able to withstand the trials. I remember the indoor 800 meters that I ran. It was very shortly after we had run the mile, and I had just run. It was a huge PR for me to run in the mile and to get fourth place, and it was a really great race. And so obviously I was anxious. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And talking with Matt beforehand, he's like, just like give it everything you've got, do the usual, like we sit and kick to the last 200 meters, go for the win, like just give it everything. And I was in the back of my head, I was like, I don't know what's going to be in there, but we're going to try. Ended up, it panned out, but I think it was always that we'd have the plan in place, of how we would approach it. And especially at nationals, 'cause we always knew, since I was not as, didn't have as much natural speed, that I would just kind of sit at the back of the pack through the first 400, push from 400 to 600, and then it's the last 200, you just are, it's whatever's left in the tank. So that one, yeah, I ended up, I didn't win, but I set a big PR on that one too and got second. So that was pretty exciting and unexpected. And I still have a video actually of the race. And I watch it. I'm like, I always say, like, Matt, were you nervous watching me? Because like I'd be in the back until like,600 meters. But he and I've asked him that, and he said, nope. He's like, I knew you knew what to do. So
Well, it's funny because there's a classic picture that we have, and we shared it. Of the end of the race, like practically everyone is laying on the track except you just standing there, just like, all right, yeah, okay, what's
I got another one. That was the end of the mile. I knew I had another race coming up.
next?
Can't come now. Yeah, I love that picture. That's one of my favorites.
In talking about that, just the type of athletes that we had during that time frame. If you look at the qualifying times in the in your event and Musu's and Ashley's, their times would still qualify them for nationals. Like we're talking almost 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it like to be part of a group of incredible athletes, just to be able to train together and what was that like?
It was awesome. I mean, Musu and Ashley were exceptional role models, just all around, like, not just athletically, but truly like academically and like, I don't know, ethically is the right word, but just how to be a good person and a high performing person. Again, not just athletically, but showcasing that performing well athletically extends to the academic part of it, because it is a lifestyle all around, and it is a personality that you have to either you have naturally, or if that's what you want to be, then you learn to acquire it. Like, there are things, they're not separate, because I think to perform well athletically is about who you are as a person, and trying to be a high performing person and setting a high standard for yourself in every aspect of life. And they were exceptional role models in that. It was just that there was no exception, and like that was the standard and nothing less. And I definitely gravitated towards that, and was inspired by that. And that sets the tone. I mean, I think it also sets the tone of anything's possible. I think it can be, we talk about there's, school records and stuff. So sometimes I think they might feel to some level actually limiting, because it's like, oh, well, 211 is fast in the eight. And it's like, is it though? Maybe it's not. Maybe you could actually run 208. Maybe you could run 205. But I think watching them perform and shatter those previous, conceptions of what was fast and what was expected as a good performance, and just shattering those boundaries, open that up to like anything's possible. I think I remember in my sophomore year thinking, my goal is to run 218 in the 800. And like, that's what I thought at the time was like going to be super fast. And then I'm watching these women running just like out of their minds, and like running way faster than what anybody thought they were going to be capable of doing. It's like, well, maybe more is out there. And that ended up thankfully being the case. But yeah.
So your overall experience at Oneana, talk a little bit about that.
I mean, I loved it. I mean, the athletic portion of it certainly guided a lot of the rest of the experience, because it was such a huge part of my life. And because I was a, three season athlete, that, my social life was with the team. And that, like I said, that also did guide what was the expectation for me academically and performing well there. I did end up not doing fashion, but changed it to communications marketing, which is the field I work in more now. Yeah, I mean, it was great. And even beyond the team, just I think the athletic department in general, like, felt so kind of close knit to me. Even now, when I'm like, people are like, oh, I went to Oneonta. It's like, well, you were an athlete. I might know who you were. Like, there's obviously a lot of people, but if you were an athlete, or I probably would know. Or they're like, I know somebody that went there. And I was like, if they're an athlete, there's a good chance I know who it is, because it was just such a tight knit community where, we'd see each other at a lot of the same things, even if it was just in the athletic training room. See a lot of people there. Just, milling around in the athletic, the different athletic buildings, preseason stuff. I loved preseason all the time. That's always my favorite part. But yeah, I mean, I loved it. I loved every part of it.
Did you ever, were you part of the group that had to do the, what is it, the time mile up the hill or something? What was it called at the beginning of cross country?
Oh,
You went out and
no,
ran the hill or
I
something?
don't recall doing that.
Oh,
No.
okay. I think
I
that
think
might
I
have.
did it. I did it with. No, I feel like I did it. Nope, we didn't. I did not.
Okay. Yeah,
Maybe
that
I
was
should start
those.
doing that afterwards.
Yeah, that became the thing. It was down on like Route 7 there, and there's this hill that just goes up. And that became like the preseason time trial kind of thing to get
Yeah.
to the top or something. But
Crazy. We'd always
yeah.
we did time trials on the track. We
Okay.
had it a little easier.
Yeah. So you're still competing, you train, you've fell just short of the qualifying for the US trials in the marathon or whatever. I mean, so obviously running is still a part of your life. I mean, talk a little bit about that.
So I'll say the year after I graduated, I had a pretty successful year. Athletically, I qualified for the US Indoor Championships in the 1500, and I ran the US 15K Championships on the road. And then fast forward to like 20, was it 2015? I ran my first marathon after having my son, like 11 months after having my first, and I just missed the Olympic trials by 28 seconds in that one. So that's always been the thing that I've still wanted to accomplish, is hitting the trial standard. Unfortunately, I had a lot of injuries in the last 8 years, and the Olympic trial standard time in the marathon has gotten quite a bit faster. But I still have hope that I can do it. So working through hopefully the last of all these injury issues and getting into consistent training, and before I get too old that I can't that it's kind of out of the realm. But even then, I'm seeing some older women in their mid to late 40s who are running very fast in the marathon, which is inspiring, giving me hope that that's still a chance. I am my goal and hope now is to definitely be running under 240 in the marathon. So I ran 245.26 in my first at the Philadelphia Marathon. I felt like I was in pretty good shape to run under 240 at that time, but marathon's an interesting beast of its own. But I feel like if I can get the consistent training in, that I definitely know I can run under 240, but I'd have to run under 237, assuming that they keep the time the same for the next trials. But
Like you said, running became a lifestyle choice, and certainly, the program that, Matt, had established or whatever. Like, talk about why you think it becomes a lifestyle. I mean, is it just, I mean, running is not easy, and you really have to want to do it, especially if you're going to train for marathons. Why is it that way for you?
I mean, I think I talk about this a lot actually with friends, and there's some level of addiction to it, I think, in a positive way. Like it's there's something enjoyable about it, even though it hurts and it's painful. But I think there's some level of you get out of it what you put into it. So to some degree, it's something that you feel like you can have control over, and like that it's totally up to you. However much effort you want to put into it, you'll get back from it. And I think that that's really fulfilling. There's certainly also just the mental release of doing it. Just that it can be meditative, and especially during times of chaos and a million other things going on, it's nice to just have some of that time to yourself. I mean, time seems to go faster and faster every day, and a minute can go very slowly when you're running. So it kind of is also an opportunity to feel like time slowing down a little bit. But yeah, I do think there's just that level of feeling like you get out of it what you put into it, which is fulfilling, and can feel really good. And then there's, I think as you get into it too and keep going, there's such a great sense of community and a lot of good running groups, running teams. So no matter where you go, I feel like it's always a great space and place to find new friends, like-minded people. It's a really, I've loved the sport so much, and I've loved every person I've met through it. That's definitely another big part of it.
Is there anyone else that you maybe like to give a shout out to about your experience at Oneonta or during your time,
I mean,
wrestling?
obviously, Matt LoPiccolo, Mike Schmidt, the coaches were awesome, and huge influence in my life and in shaping not just my academic career, but who I am as a person, or my athletic career, but who I am as a person. And we've talked about Musu and Ashley, huge influences. in my life as well, and they really helped to set the tone for me to be a high achieving person. Thanks to you too,
Yeah.
Jeff. You were so supportive, you and Tom both throughout.
Yep.
It's great to have you guys are there, and even Tracy, who was still the coach at the time, always felt super supportive.
Yep.
Even though she was the soccer coach at the time, but she would always like check in, and
Yep.
that was really nice too. And I've talked about like Kelly Stevens, who I never was really close with, but to me, she was always kind of that distant influence.
Yeah.
That she was really, I think, one of the original, like, set the bar people
Yes.
for the team. So I, you know, interacted with her more so in the first few years. I think she's a couple of years older than I am, but she definitely helped to inspire me to want to be better. I don't know. There's so many, but yeah, it was, I think that.
Well, it's funny, and again, I think we had, talked about this previously, is it seemed like at that time there was like really a running culture in the athletic department. And like you said,
Yes.
Tom and I, here we go. One day he's like, "Hey, you want to help train, train with me?" I told him, he said he was going down to run a marathon, and he was gonna, because I had, when I before I came to Oneonta, I had run in a couple of marathons, you know what I mean? By trained by myself.
Yeah.
And so he said he was going down to run one. I said, "Okay, listen, if you qualify, I'll train with you and I'll run Boston with you," because he knew that I ran Boston before, so he wanted to go.
Okay.
Well, needless to say, he did qualify for his age group. So
Nice.
now I found myself, I'm like, oh, I did say I would do this. So it became, for me and Tom, I mean, at that time I was still pretty new and I didn't really know everybody really that great. But so for me and Tom, I mean, lifelong friendship out of running and training all those miles, 20, I mean, when we
Yeah.
went out on our long 20, 22 mile runs. But again, I think the culture of the department was, is that everybody really started running and we talked about it, and, watching all of you athletes, I mean, it helped inspire Tom and I probably just
Oh,
to,
nice.
I mean, if they're out there training, right, we're, and Matt certainly would, tell us, he'd give us workouts, and Tom, and I'd be like, "Listen, Tom, just tell me what you want me to do today and I'll go do it." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because again, I wasn't into the science of running and stuff like that. I mean, it, for me, it was, a social thing. And then actually, training, I actually did better than I ever thought I would do in some of these races. I mean, I PR'd at every distance
That's amazing.
training during that time with Tom. And just so for me, in the athletes, I just think that that was a great time to be at Oneonta during
Yeah.
that time.
I mean, I remember in between classes, the place to be was Matt and Mike's office.
Yeah.
It would be packed like sardines, everyone in there just wanting to talk about running, life, school, like classes, everything. And it was, and I think that added to that culture is we enjoyed spending time together.
Yeah.
And even in those moments, you know, there was never a moment that was lost on just reiterating again, like being that a student of the sport, but it was also fun. Like there was a lot of fun that was involved too. We enjoyed spending time together as a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think there is with running, especially there's that joint suffering that you can kind of just, you build a
Yeah.
respect and
Yeah.
a bond with people. Even if you don't have anything else in common, you know, you've at least suffered together.
Yeah.
So.
Shared experiences, right? Oh, well, I know that, unfortunately, Tom Benoit, with his knees and stuff, he's suffered a little bit more than the rest of us, but he still kept going. I mean, he still would run and train and stuff until he finally had to, say, "No, I can't do it anymore." But and even myself, I mean, I can't do it either anymore, but running. But so yeah, listen, I'm glad that we got a chance to catch up today, and certainly I'm
Yeah.
looking so forward to welcoming you back, and just celebrating, the greatness of yourself, plus, your other fellow inductees or whatever. It's a great class again this year. And I think I like the fact that a lot of you, I think four of you, are within 5 years of graduating from each other,
Nice.
which is another, that time period. See, I mean, we're talking, like 2002 to about 2009. That was quite a time for Oneonta Athletics, and certainly the women. I think carried they
Yeah.
carried the department.
The
So
millennial change makers.
yes. So yeah, congratulations once again, and we look forward to seeing you on June 8th.
Thank you. Me too.
All right.
Thanks, dude.
Okay.